Good morning. You can do better than that. Good morning. Good morning. See, it's 12:15 where I live, so I'm wide awake, but you may not be. But we're going to have a message today. Let me ask you a question. If somebody were 54 years old, that's me, which I shared with the first group, that's a really interesting age and stage in life when you're 54, where you've lost most of your hair, but you still get pimples. It's a really interesting stage in life. But if somebody 54 years old were to share with you or say to you, I want to share with you the single most important lesson I've learned about leadership, I don't know about you, but I'd pay attention. I would perk up a little bit and say, what could you possibly have to share with me? Dr. Parrott, who was kind enough for me to interview him yesterday, my podcast is called Bottom Line Faith, where I get a chance to interview Christ followers in leadership all across the country, people who have started companies like Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A and smaller businesses and so forth. But one of the questions I asked Dr. Parrott yesterday, and I ask in every one of my interviews, is if you could go back and sit across the table from the 20-year-old version of you, what advice would you share with the 20-year-old you? What I want to do this morning is share with you the single most important lesson that I wish I had known a few years ago. And I'm still learning it, by the way. And so what I want to talk with you about is this issue that everybody faces regardless of their age. Now let me ask a question. By a show of hands, how many of you would consider yourself a leader? How many of you aren't sure? Okay, if you're not sure, let me ask you a question. Has anyone ever listened to anything you've had to say? Come on now. Has anyone ever listened to anything you've ever had to say, yes or no? Yes? Welcome to leadership. Every one of us become a leader the moment that someone is paying attention to what we're saying and what we're doing. That's the essence of leadership. Okay? And so I want to talk with you this morning about what I have learned to be the single greatest challenge facing these leaders. This is what I've learned. This came from a few months ago. I was having breakfast with a friend of mine. And let me just give you a little context about kind of what I do like in my life. You know, first of all, I've been married 32 years to my wife, Beth. She's a saint. It's been 30 great years. Because when you've been married 32 years, I ought to hear an amen, Dr. Parrott. When you've been married 32 years, you have some rough days in there, yes? So it's been 30 great years, because we have a bad day once in a while. And I have three mostly great kids. I have a son who's a junior in college, a daughter who's a freshman in college, and a daughter who's a sophomore in high school. And they're mostly great kids, and I'm mostly a great dad. But we all have failures. We all have shortcomings. And what I'm going to do is just walk you through this morning what I believe is the antidote to our problems in leadership. So my friend asked me over breakfast, he said, Ray, you've been working with leaders and learning about leadership now for going on 30 years. In 5 seconds or less, tell me what you've learned about the state of Christian leaders today. And it just came to me just like that. I said, Leo, L-I-O. And he said, what does that mean? And I said, they are lonely, they are isolated, and they are overwhelmed. Now, let me ask y'all a question. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever felt any of those emotions? Lonely, isolated, and it's not quite finals yet, but when it is, overwhelmed, yes? All right. So see, it doesn't matter if you're a student, if you're a parent, you're in business. These are the emotions that we as leaders face. And at the center of that is the key issue. This is the lesson I have learned. That where failure comes for most leaders is when they become isolated. If you show me a pastor who's had moral failure, more than likely I'll show you a pastor who has fallen out of community and accountability. I'll show you a pastor who quit listening to people around him or her that were trying to speak life to them. You show me a CEO who has fallen into corruption, and I'll most likely show you a CEO who quit listening to his or her board of directors, quit listening to their shareholders, their employees, where they just kind of thought they had the answers on their own. You show me failure, and most of the time I can point directly to where somebody became isolated. Now, even as Christians, I've learned this. I have this phrase that I call the arrogance of the anointing. Let me tell you what I mean by that. That we have a dangerous thing that we can do as followers of Christ, and that is to think that our walk with Jesus is so close that we're going to hear from him just in our prayer life, and that's going to be his will and his plan for us. Friends, let me share something with you. Okay? My life and my walk with Christ is not so close that I can always tell if what I'm hearing is from the Lord or if it's indigestion. Hello? I need godly men and women in my life to speak into my life, to do life with me. And I'm going to just give you a little heads up to where I'm going with the conversation today. And I just want you to look to the person to your left or to your right, and I want you to just ask this question: who's your monkey? Who's your monkey? All right? I know that sounds incredibly weird to you right now, but in about 12 minutes, if you'll be patient, I'll explain it. Did anybody talk to anybody that was in first service? Did anybody hear about the monkey? Okay. Well, good. No spoiler alert. All right, so let's check this out. Isolation applies to every leader, whether it's a pastor, a church leader, a business leader, a CEO, doesn't matter. Isolation is a very dangerous thing. Check this out. From Charisma News Magazine, they did a survey not long ago. It said that 35% of current pastors and 62% of former pastors felt like they were all alone and isolated. How many have heard of Forbes Magazine? It's one of the leading business publications. About a year and a half ago, they came out with an article that says the executive challenge that no one wants to talk about, and they cited some work from the Harvard Business Review. Anybody heard of the Harvard Business Review? Anybody heard of Harvard? Huh? One of the leading research institutions on the planet. Their research, and it was cited in this magazine article in Forbes, that half of CEOs live their life in loneliness. Have you ever heard the phrase, it's lonely at the top? Yes? Okay? And 61% of these CEOs surveyed said it hindered their performance as a leader. The scripture tells us all about this. In the book of Proverbs alone, there's over 25 references to gaining wisdom and insight and counsel by not being isolated. And there's just three verses right there out of the more than 20, 25 I could have pulled out for you. The Bible warns us over and over again not to live in isolation, that we need wisdom from those around us. Okay? We all have blind spots. How many understand we all have blind spots? Okay? And it's really important that we need others in our life to point out blind spots to us. Yes? How many think you got a blind spot? Raise your hand. And if your hand's not up, you got a blind spot. We all have them. I have them. You have them. We need others around us to help us overcome our pride and foolishness. We need others around us for accountability. And it's kind of like this. How many of you have ever made a trip to the beach? Ever tried to put suntan lotion on your own back? It's not real easy to do because we all have a blind spot. We all have some spot we can't reach or see. Now, that's just an analogy. There's a group of four other guys every Thursday morning that I meet with, have been doing this for about 10 years now, and we ask each other the really, really hard questions as men, as husbands, dads, business leaders. And we'd really drill into one another's blind spots because we all know we have them. We all know we have them. So that's right. I'm going to come back to the monkey analogy in just a moment. This will hopefully make some sense for you. Who's your monkey? Everybody do it again. One more time. Look to the left and the right. Say, who's your monkey? Come on. Come on. I know it sounds funny. Hang with me. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Watch this. NPR, National Public Radio, about 2.5 years ago, did some research on test monkeys. Monkeys that were in the labs being used for research, various types, for cosmetics and medicines and all sorts of products that you and I consume. Obviously, they have animals that they need to do these testings on, okay? And if you've ever seen, it's kind of disturbing to see it sometimes, but you see these monkeys as they're hooked up with probes and bright lights, and they get hit with blasted with cold water and hot water, and all kinds of stress is put on these monkeys, and then they test. In the part of this process, they test these monkeys, their heart rate, their blood pressure, their cortisone levels, their chemical imbalances, those kinds of things. And watch what happens, okay? That monkey in the cage, what they have now learned to measure is that when the monkey's alone in that cage, their immune system actually crashes. And they become much, much more susceptible to disease and illness, depression, okay? And when that monkey's alone going through those stresses, and those hardships, they become very susceptible to weakness, to disease and illness and depression. But they also, in their research, they discovered that if they make one change, just one change in the research process, radical differences in results. This one change caused monkeys to have a 50% reduction in the stress hormones in their system. This one change. The monkeys became 50% less inclined to have stress hormones in their system. It doubled their capacity to withstand those tests and those stresses. This one change. One change. Any guesses what that one change is? Any guesses? It's a real simple thing. Y'all said it. They put another monkey in the cage. Just by putting another monkey in the cage, going through the exact same things, doubled their capacity to withstand the stress. Doubled the capacity to withstand the stress. It's very fascinating. So do you see why I had you look around and say, who's your monkey? Because we all need somebody or somebodies to go through this journey. Because nearly every hand was raised a few minutes ago when I said, have you ever been lonely? Have you ever been isolated? And have you ever felt overwhelmed? It is so critical that we live in community. And I'm going to give you an example of that in just a little bit. But do you recognize any of these superheroes? Anybody recognize them? Come on now. All right. Every one of these amazing superheroes have incredible strengths. Now, I'll probably show some of my ignorance because my kids love these. I watch a few of them. But I don't know all of them real well, but they do. So check this out. Every one of these amazing superheroes have incredible strengths. However, they all have something else in common. Any guesses? Who said that? A weakness. Every one of these superheroes have a weakness that if you can learn to capitalize on their weakness, you can defeat them. Let's check this out. Who knows what Superman's weakness is? Everybody should know that one. Yes, absolutely. Kryptonite. Put kryptonite anywhere near him, he's worthless. Okay, very weak, very defenseless. Batman is fatigue. Batman is essentially a guy who's dependent on his gadgetry. He's just got all the technology and the suits and the cars and the vehicles and all that. But inside, he is just a mortal human being and he can become quite fatigued. Wonder Woman, if you tie her bracelets, she's very defeatable. Thor, what's his? It's magic, it's sorcery in his hammer, right? Right? All right. Captain America, he can be mortally wounded if he doesn't have what? Take away his shield and he's easily defeated. Iron Man's a little bit tricky, but Iron Man had a weak heart and he liked the ladies. Okay? Now, this is a really interesting one. The Hulk. Does anybody in here know the Hulk's weakness? Scarlett Johansson. Can I get an amen? Anybody know? We actually had somebody in the last chapel that knew this. It's very obscure, and you have to go way back in comic history to research this. Anybody know? Nobody. What? Puppies. Who's not like a puddle of tears around puppies? Cute puppies. That's how you can defeat the Hulk. You can research it. Check it out. It's pretty interesting. And Rambo, he's just old school, right? And he's got flashbacks and memories that he can get paralyzed, lost in his memories. So every superhero, despite their strengths, has a weakness. Just like you, just like myself. So, we have an enemy who is seeking to defeat us, every one of us. The Bible's real clear about who this enemy is and the strategy that he wants to use to take us out. Let's check this out. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind, for your enemy is who?" Who? The devil, who prowls around like what? A roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Scripture does not say the devil is looking to nibble. It says the devil is looking to devour. Now, any of us in the room this morning, any of you ever played any kind of athletics at all? Come on, help me out. Let me see your hands. Lots and lots and lots. Okay? When you've got an important game or a match coming up, do you do any research or watching a film at all about what your opponent's going to do and how they play the game? Yes? Very common, right? You're going to do that. Because you want to know what their strengths are, you want to know what their weaknesses are. Guess what? The enemy is our adversary, and he knows what our weaknesses are, and he knows how to capitalize on that. But here's the good news. Once we understand his game plan, we can know what his weakness is, and we can know how to defeat him. And that's what I want to walk you through as it relates to who's your monkey. I'll come back to that. So check this out. If we're going to learn how our enemy hunts, there's three traits, three characteristics that they've learned about how lions hunt. Three things to know. Number one, they rely on sneak attack. You don't see them coming. They're very patient. They wait a very long time to issue the attack. Number two, they almost always hunt in packs. Okay? It's called a pride. So when the enemy comes after us, very rarely will he just hit us with one thing at a time. He'll come after us with multiple things, multiple angles, to try to take us at our weak point. And then number three, the lion attacks the isolated. Most of the time, if you ask somebody who does the lion attack, they'll say the one who is sick or ill. It's not true. The lion has no way of looking across the prairie and seeing all those deer, all those antelope, to know which one is sick or which one is ill. But what can the lion see? Which one is isolated off on their own. So what I want to do is I want to show you a video of an actual lion attack. And the full version of this you can find online, YouTube. It's about 18 minutes or so. But through some great editing of our wonderful assistant in the back of the room, thank you. He's edited us down to about a minute and a half or so. You don't need to really pay much attention to the audio. You're going to see what's going on. But let's watch what happens in this attack. Be patient. Here it comes.
Whoa.
What about those starving lions? Couldn't feed their babies. What did you see happen in the video? Who did the lions go after? They chased and one got separated. They went after the one that got isolated. And then, what did you see happen? That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you. The community. The community came back and saw that one of their own was under attack. And if you paid attention particularly, while they were in the group, eventually one of them stepped forward. Yes, remember that? The one that initiated the counterattack stepped forward, showed some courage, and then the rest joined in. It's a very powerful visual about attacking of a lion and how to overcome the attack of the lion. And I'm going to walk you through that with another visual illustration in just a moment, okay? But before I do that, I want to reference back to that Forbes magazine article, a publication that basically said there's three keys to overcoming isolation. Now, this is specifically addressing business leaders, but it's an absolute universal principle. Three tips to overcoming isolation. Number one, join a peer or join a support group. Get into community with others who are going through what you're going through. That's what our organization, Truth at Work, does. We have about 650 Christ-following business owners and leaders around the country that meet together in peer groups every single month and help each other deal with leadership issues, deal with life issues, and how to lead in a Christ-like way, because it's lonely and they need support and encouragement. So it doesn't matter if you're, like we were talking about earlier, age 20, age 30, age 40, age 54, age 70, we all need that community. So the first thing this magazine, this business publication said to overcome isolation is get in a peer group. Number two, the second thing that they said to overcome isolation is make sure that you are developing a holistic life, not only business, but in your personal life, your home life, and your spiritual life. And that was a totally, completely secular magazine telling us this. They see the truth of even what God's Word tells us. And the third thing, and I love this, it says, understand that vulnerability is a strength. The world wants to tell us that vulnerability is a weakness. But vulnerability is a strength. Does that make sense? Because if when we become willing to share our brokenness, to be willing to share kind of like what's wrong with us, others can help us process that. Vulnerability is a strength, and the devil wants to tell us that it's a lie. Okay? The scripture is real clear on this. I don't need to read it to you. You can see it for yourself. Scripture tells us time and again there's power when we come together in community. It says, don't let us give up the habit of coming together and sharing together and spurring one another on in excellence and in good deeds. It says that a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That when we come together in community, we're nearly impossible to defeat. So, how do these superheroes, with all of their strengths and with all of their weaknesses, overcome their weaknesses? See, Hollywood is brilliant. They form the Avengers. When all these superheroes come together, they can guard one another's weaknesses. No one can tie Wonder Woman's bracelets together if there's somebody to her left and right guarding her. So what? Somebody puts kryptonite in the room. Who cares? Because somebody who doesn't have that weakness can remove it so that it doesn't affect Superman. Do y'all get the picture of this? Yes? So, what I need, as I wrap up my time, is somewhere out here, I think there's four studs who have been volunteered. Give it up for these guys. Come on, let's hear it for them. Come on, let's hear it for them. Now, as you guys are making your way forward, let me ask you a question. Have we ever met before? Have we ever met before? Nope. Have you been coached on what we're about to do? Do you have any idea what I'm about to do to you? With you? No? Okay. My name is Ray. What's yours?
Cole.
Cole?
Sir.
C-O-L-E?
Sir.
Pleasure, Cole. You are?
Connor.
Connor. Okay, Cole and Connor. I'm Ray.
Ben.
Ben, hi.
Cody.
Cody. All right. Give it up for these guys. Come on. They have no idea. All right. Now. All right. So if you guys will just take one step apart from each other, spread out into a straight line, just like that. Okay. These are our superheroes today. All right? They're our superheroes. And for the sake of our discussion, let's say they're super Christians. Super Christian heroes, right? Yes. So they're reading their Bible. They're praying. They are here in chapel, and they're loving it, aren't you? You're just loving chapel. Yes, I can tell. All right. And, you know, they never miss church. They read their Bibles. They pray before every meal, and they're just like loving Jesus. But they got a problem, and you got to help me define what their problem is. Okay, every leader has a weakness, just like our superheroes. So I need somebody. What would be a potential problem or a challenge or a weakness that a leader would have? Somebody. Temptation of what? Can I call it greed? Greed. Is that okay? Is that cool? Who wants to, like, battle with greed? Who's going to be greedy? Come on, I need somebody. You got it? All right. There's Mr. Greed right there. All right, very good. What's my next weakness? Somebody. Lust. All right. Two down, two to go. Two more weaknesses that every leader or potential leaders would have. Anger. Who said anger? Anger. Who's my... Oh, yeah, I can tell. And then I heard pride. Did I hear pride? All right, give it up for them one more time. All right, you ready? You guys, you remember what your issue was? All right. So this is going to be like a group session, okay? So I want you guys to stand forward and say, hi, my name is, and I deal with... You ready?
My name's Cole, and I deal with anger issues.
Hi, Cole.
Hi, Cole.
All right.
My name is Connor, and I deal with greed.
Hi, Cole. Connor, sorry. All right.
My name is Ben, and I deal with pride.
Hi, my name is Cody. I'm a very lustful person.
All right. All right. So there's our superheroes. One more time. Give it up for these guys. They had no idea. No idea, right? You guys are being great sports, all right? Thanks. All right. Now, I'm the devil. I'm the devil. Yeah. So what we learned in the scripture, I'm described as the roaring lion. What am I trying to do? Am I trying to nibble? What am I trying to do? Trying to devour, yes? I'm not playing around. This is a serious game to me. How will I hunt? I'm going to sneak up on him. I'm going to hit him multiple things. And most importantly, isolated. So we got some superheroes here, love Jesus, all the things we talked about, but they all have an issue. Your issue is?
Anger.
Yours is?
Greed, pride, lust.
Now y'all, repeat back. What's his issue?
Anger.
All right. Got it? You guys got it?
Yes.
All right, so check it out. The devil is a roaring lion, and the devil looks and says, I got some superheroes here, but I know what their weakness is. I've studied the game plan. Your issue is? So along she comes. Pretty weird, right? But watch, y'all, thank you for being good sports, everybody. 4 minutes, we'll be done, I promise. And you never will ask me back, I can tell. All right, so check this out. The devil knows his weakness. The devil knows how to tempt and how to just get him off stride. And the devil comes along with that moment of temptation and with a slight nudge knocks our superhero off stride. You deal with pride. So the devil comes along. Oh, man, you are so awesome. Everything you do is excellent. You are the best at this and you are the best. Do you know how good you are? Man, you're awesome. I know you love Jesus, but man, you are easy to pick off. I'm going to get him tempted to pursue everything about money and power and everything that this world has to offer. And I know what his weakness is, so I'm going to give him some of that success, and I know he's going to be very susceptible to it. Yes, I know he's going to church. Yes, I know he's doing all those things. But I'm the devil. I'm the roaring lion seeking whom I can devour. And so with just a little bit of greed, I pick him off. Now look at big boy here. What's his issue? I'm going to be careful here. But I just know how to set him off. I know how to cut him off in traffic. I know how to show him an injustice. I know his buttons. So as big as this superhero is, I can come along. Now watch. Pick him off, no matter how big and strong he is. Because I'm the devil, I'm the roaring lion. And they are isolated despite them being superheroes. Hello? But see, they're much smarter than most because they're at Belhaven University. And they understand the power of biblical community. So watch. Let's see just how bright these best that Belhaven has to offer can figure this out. They decide we're going to link arms. We're going to link arms. Is this the dean's list, by the way? All right, you guys got it? Let me ask y'all a question. Same four guys, yes or no? Same superhero strengths, yes or no? Same weaknesses, yes or no? Same devil, yes or no? What's the difference? One difference. Monkey in the cage. Dude, I'm not going to do this alone. I've got these weaknesses. I need you to help me through. Let's do community. Let's share. Let's be open. You help me, I'll help you. Now watch this. This is not played. This is not rehearsed. Look at him. What was your issue? Pride. I come along the same things.
Hold me up.
I'm trying to, man.
I don't weigh 120. What was your issue?
Greed.
Same thing, man. And he's got his buddy saying, dude, that's not what's important. You can deal with that. You know, we're going to hold you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to hold you through. Look at him buckling up. Oh, I love it. All right. Now, Hawk over here. Here's a puppy. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Now, watch. Same issue. You ready? Are you ready? Dude, I'm gonna cut you off in traffic. I'm going to listen. His buddies are saying, bro, come on. Chill out. It's okay. It's not that big a deal. The devil's just playing. You can get him. You can beat him. All right. Now I got one more down here. And along comes Delilah, that Philistine woman. Come on now.
Amen.
Hello. All right. Now, hang on. Hang on. Did y'all see what just happened? 1 minute, I'm going to be done. 1 minute, I'm going to be done. Now, watch this. They hang together in community. You see how much stronger they are to fight the same things the devil's bringing, the same issues you're wrestling with right now. If you will open up and build community and be transparent and authentic and share, the devil can't defeat that. Now, watch what happens. Then they decide, you know what? We're not even going to give the devil a foothold. We're going to circle up. Let's see if they can figure it out. We're going to circle up. Now, look. Look what just happened, gang. Look what just happened. This is a really weird position for them to be in right now. But watch. Look at what just happened. Not only can the devil not push and defeat, the devil can't separate. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. They've actually changed position, and they have turned their back on the devil. All right, guys, thank you. Give it up. Give it up for them. They're really great sports. They had no idea. Look to your left. Look to your right. Say, who's your monkey? Now listen. Now turn to the left and to the right and say, I know it's kind of weird and all that, but I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this. Say to them, I'll be the monkey if you need one. Okay? All right. Somebody showed me that illustration over 20 years ago. Somebody showed me that over 20 years ago. And I have learned, for what I have learned through leadership, the single greatest weapon that we can use to defeat the enemy is not living or leading in isolation. Leveraging into biblical community, what you've got right here at this university, and after your days here, make sure you stay in biblical community, sharing what you're going through. Vulnerability is a strength, it's not a weakness. And I just pray that you'll remember this for the rest of your life, just as I have when I saw it 20 years ago. God bless.